listen to this.
Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Trump not so inclined to have current and former White House aides testify in congressional committees, telling the Washington Post there's no reason for their participation, especially in what he sees as partisan proceedings. Committees in the House are investigating possible obstruction of justice by the president based on the Mueller-Russia report. The nation's highest court has heard arguments on whether a citizenship question that the administration supports should be added to the 2020 census. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The census would affect how many seats each state holds in the House of Representatives and their share of federal dollars over the next 10 years. New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Clearly, by putting a citizenship question on the census forms, all experts indicate and suggest that, in fact, it would undermine that count.
Three lower courts blocked the Trump administration's effort to add the question, saying millions would choose not to participate.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheets Special. You'll find out all about them and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheets Special, use my promo code USA.
Long secret files of sexual abuse hidden by the Boy Scouts now uncovered. And USA Radio's Wendy King has some of the grim findings.
A law firm that specializes in representing child sex abuse victims is now accusing the Boy Scouts of America of keeping secret the identity of thousands of alleged pedophiles. An attorney who's representing the firm, Jeff Anderson, says the Boy Scouts failed to tell authorities about more than 7,000 people in its so-called perversion files.
This is a real peril. It's a systemic problem. These are perversion files and secrets held by the Boy Scouts of America across this country.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
There's been another death at the Grand Canyon. Park officials say a 70-year-old woman fell about 200 feet off the Pipe Creek Vista yesterday, the second accidental death from a fall in the Grand Canyon National Park itself this year. A man died from a fall just outside the national park borders at the Grand Canyon as well. And Coca-Cola is announcing a new product for people who are torn between having a cola or having a coffee. The company is soon to offer a blend of the two called Coke Coffee in 25 markets by the end of the year. The product has less sugar than a can of Coke and less caffeine than a cup of coffee. And find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. You're here listening to 100 in Chamber Radio. This is Nicole Smith. And for the weather today, it's absolutely gorgeous today. So if you can get out there, enjoy the sunny weather, high of 68, please do so. Tomorrow looks like a slight chance of showers with a high of 69. Thursday night showers likely with a low of 52. Friday showers again, but a high of 68. And Friday night showers and showers chance. Saturday, chance of showers and then sunny up to 65. And then looks like some more showers on Sunday.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. We're on Facebook Live today. If you want to look up Facebook at Happy Hunterdon or look up Happy to Help. Before we get started, I just want to do a shout out for the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce is having an employer legislative breakfast with Congressman Tom Malinowski representing the 7th District of New Jersey. That's on May 13th at 8 a.m. in the morning at Beaver Brook Country Club in Annandale. So Chamber members, 30 $30, general admission $40, and you can go to the 100 in Chamber website to sign up. I've already got a bunch of people signed up, and it'll be a good opportunity to talk to your congressman, so check it out if you'd like to do that. And speaking of politics, I'm very honored today to welcome Denise Coyle Esquire, who is a retired assemblywoman, freeholder, former Branchburg mayor. She's involved, obviously has a history of civic involvement and government, and now she's also devotes quite a bit of her time to several volunteer efforts, board member, different things. So I'm excited to hear your story today, and welcome, Denise.
Well, thank you, Nicole. How are you today?
I'm doing good, but I'm excited to hear your story. And tell us a little bit about how you ended up in politics and what you wanted to be when you grew up and how that's turned out.
Well, I think that what you wanted to be when I grew up is probably then where I would start. So I am this young girl in, I believe I was in 8th or 9th grade, and Sister Celeste was teaching our math class. And it was like geometry, and everyone's dying. No one wants to be in math. And it was a beautiful spring day like today is. And she deviates from the geometry, and she starts asking us, what do all you young girls, it was a girls' Catholic, you know, school, what do all you young girls want to be when you grow up? And so, you know, she goes to my best friend, Holly Dickens. She says, oh, I want to be a graphic artist. Then she goes to my next best friend, you know, Pat Reardon, and Pat Reardon goes, oh, I'm going to be a bum. and then she comes to me, and I said, oh, I want to be the First Lady of the United States.
Aim high.
Well, you know, it was the Jackie O. You know, we were all so impressed with JFK. And his death, you know, left such a huge impact on the country. And his wife, Jackie Kennedy, I think, was like my idol. And I thought, well, I want to be First Lady, because whoever thought women could run for political office? And, in fact, Sister Celeste turns to me and says, well, why wouldn't you want to be president of the United States?
Oh.
Yeah. It was like one of those little moments in life where you're like, girls can be president. Girls can be in political office. Had no idea. And at that time, unfortunately, there was very, very few women in political office. And quite honestly, I believe there's only about 16% of Congress right now is represented by women. And I've been a strong advocate over my 20 years in elected office that women, our voice needs to be heard. We need a seat at the table. I have found over these years governing that women approach politics and power differently than men. And women have a tendency to want to work things out. They want to be problem solvers. It's kind of innate in our nature. And, you know, we do represent slightly more than 50% of the population. So that voice does need to be heard, and we look at issues differently. And I think a lot of the issues that were considered soft issues at one time, health care, elder care, education, those issues are very much at the forefront of our national discussion now. And I think women can add so much to that discussion. Mm-hmm. So we were talking, Nicole and I were talking earlier about experiences of how did I get involved, and how, more importantly, do you get young women involved and interested in politics? And that's, in this very divisive era of politics, it's hard to get anyone interested in being in politics. And it's crucially important that we have quality people. I'm not sure that government was ever easy at any point in this nation or any other nation's history, but it's certainly not now. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of laws. There's, you know, they're changing. It's a complicated business. Mm-hmm. And so you need people who are committed and who are intelligent and hopefully ethically strong, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's when we talked earlier about the political arena, politics is an arena. It's a battle.
Yeah, and there's all this focus on STEM, get your girls in STEM, which is important. We need computer scientists, we need engineers, but there also is an equally strong push for getting women and children into civic engagement and being involved in the community and government. And so I think people need to be aware that that's definitely a field that's opening up to women especially, and that you just need to be informed and engaged.
I could not agree with you more. I had I've been privileged to speak at probably every, certainly just about every high school in Somerset County, as the county I represented for many years, and to other schools outside of Somerset County. And I, a number of years ago, I spoke at a premier girls Catholic high school, not in Somerset County, and it was only to their high school juniors and seniors. And I have never been in a high school where there was less interest. There was not one question when I finished speaking. I've been in some schools, especially the boys' schools, where I would literally have to say, okay, shut up, sit down, and wait your turn. Because they're like jumping out of their seats. Yeah. They want to know about this, and they want to know about this question. Because young men are often thinking about politics as a career in high school. Yeah. They're already thinking somewhere in their mind that this is something they might want to do at some point. And young women are not. I mean, when I left the Oak Knoll School that day, I mean, it's the only time it's ever happened where no one, they just weren't engaged. They just weren't interested. So here you have these bright, privileged young women who, they're not interested. And it's crucially important, you know, that people reach out to them and things are done on their academic curriculums and other places to make them see that, like you were saying, there's more than just elected office. There's a ton of different professions within government. I mean, it's the whole range of society's professions. So there's a million ways to serve your government.
Yes, and to actually make a difference. And I think there is a stigma to that because I do a lot of work with Girl Scouts, and I was at a sporting event, and I was talking to one of the dads, and I didn't really know him or his daughter, and I was like, oh, you know, Girl Scouts are really great. Did you know that most of the elected officials in the higher areas of government are, you know, Girl Scouts or were Girl Scouts? And he's like, well, I don't really want my daughter going into politics, thank you very much, so I'm not going to, you know, so he was like adamant about like, no way, no how, you know, STEM or whatever,
so
you know,
sad.
She's going to, well, I mean, but no, and it's good that we have choices, but people need to look at what, you know, I'm so excited being involved in the Princeton Chamber and the Hunterdon Chamber and all the different things that I see go on around here. It's just opened my eyes to, wow, there's just like this whole other world that people can engage in, and I'm trying to get people to intern here or volunteer because it's you want to be at the heart of where things are going on. This is where it is.
Right. You want to be at the table. I think you're exactly right. And government is very much elected office. You're at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And your voice gets to be heard, as I was speaking about earlier, and you get to make a difference. The one thing that's wonderful about politics is it really can have a great purpose. You can accomplish some amazing things. And that's also true of our nonprofit sector. You can really commit time, just as you do, and really make a difference. In fact, I like to say when I'm speaking to other, you know, nonprofit organizations that I actually get more out of being on a nonprofit board than you know, the nonprofit itself does, because it's a very rewarding experience.
Well, I say that all the time. I say that's the focus of this show, is to get people to find a volunteer opportunity that's right for you, because you get so much more out of it than you put into it that it's just, it's life-changing. And I've, with Room to Read and the different things that I've been involved in, and it led me to this radio show, it led me to speaking, it led me to a whole new skill set, and I'm enjoying everything so much. And that's what I'm saying. There's something like that for everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's a great path.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a different path often. It's certainly not a traditional corporate type path. It's not a really legal path. There's a ton of legal people who do. A lot of lawyers are in government. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether that's good or bad. We'll leave it for the individual viewer to decide. It's a different path. And those paths have a lot of purpose, because it's good as you're walking through your life to say, wow, I was on the plus side of the ledger, as my great aunt Carolyn would say.
Aww.
Right.
Yeah. And so were you able to find time to do volunteer work outside of all the civic service you did, or did that come after?
When I was in an elected office, I did not serve on volunteer boards. I felt there was always a small possibility of a conflict where I'd be on a board and they would be getting money from either the state or the county or whatever. So I didn't serve on volunteer boards when I was in political office, except for the United Way for a very short period after Hurricane Floyd, because the county was facing so many issues at that point. So I've got to do that since I've left office. quite honestly, it's been a lot of fun. And you meet individuals on volunteer boards, on nonprofit boards. They're committed to those organizations. Mm-hmm. And it would astound me how hard a small group of individuals would work to achieve the nonprofit's goals. Mm-hmm. You know, not paid staff, the volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's we're meant to work. All right, we're gonna take a short break, and then we'll be back to talk to delve more into that.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And today we're talking with Denise Coyle. She is a retired assemblywoman, freeholder, Branchburg mayor. She's committed or devoted over 20 years to civic service. And now she's equally dedicated and devoted to nonprofit work. And she's going to tell us about some of those. And I think we can start with your role at Safe and Sound, which is safe-sound.org, if you want to look that up. And they help domestic violence or battered women, right? Is that kind of their primary goal? Tell us about it.
Yeah, the mission of Safe and Sound is to stop domestic abuse. And one of the things that we've learned about domestic abuse is it goes across all social strata. It goes across all race, all incomes, all religions, and it's a very difficult issue to attack because it's so multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And one of the really interesting things too that we have seen, it's not just women. Women are primarily the ones who are abused. I mean, that's just a reality of fact. But also, there are men now who this is happening to more and more, and we hear from men, and it challenges the resources of our organization because it was kind of set up for women and unfortunately families, mm-hmm. because often there's children involved too, mm-hmm. and the complexity comes because of you have women, some are of means, some are not, and so then you have the social services and human services from the state and the county, and then when there's children involved, it becomes much more complicated.
Of course.
Yeah. So one of the things, Safe and Sound's a terrific organization. I want to give it a shout out. Anyone, it's a really interesting board. It's a committed board. It's a fun board. And we're doing some very innovative things. For example, we rolled out last year the ability for high school students to, and junior high school students, to text us. So if they're in a what they feel is a threatening situation, well, it's hard to dislodge yourself often and make a phone call, but it's easy to send a text. So, you know, we have a hotline now for texting. And then it will respond, depending on the degree of lack of safety, to different entities. Either it could be someone from, the, you know, a counselor from the organization, or if someone's feeling really physically threatened, it could be the police. So it just depends on what the level of threat is assessed at. But, you know, we're the first ones, certainly in the state, to use technology to help younger, you know, a younger generation speak to us.
Yeah, and I noticed on the website there, I was surfing around there and looking at the different services, and there's like a tab on the side that says emergency leave the website. So yes. I think if you're looking on it and someone comes over your shoulder and you can,
it
goes to weather.
Yeah,
it goes to weather.
It's really like,
I thought that was kind of wild.
I need a sweater tonight. Right?
I know. I just thought that was wild. I hadn't seen that before, but that's very smart. Yeah. Very smart. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be smart, and it's often, because often abusers are cagey. They could be, you know, the good-looking guy on the football team, or, you know, the little, you know, nerdy guy in class. It's often people you just don't stereotype, you don't expect.
Right. And then they've got Victoria's House is kind of the emergency safe house that people go to initially.
Yep.
And then a transitional housing, counseling, domestic violence response team, different things. Has it been around for a while? Do you know? Can you just tell us the history about Safe Sound?
Yeah. Safe and Sound was really our battered women's group for years. And about 3 years ago, we just thought we were just, you know, the name kind of said it all, but we were also tired from the name, and we also recognized there was a significant changing demographic. We were seeing high school kids, and we were seeing young men, and we just needed to call it something else. Okay. So we really did a terrific marketing campaign and came up with this Safe and Sound. What do we want as parents? We want our children to be safe and sound. So that was the concept behind the marketing campaign, and so we've been using that name now for about 3 years. But the tagline of, you know, stopping domestic abuse forever is really important, because no one knows what Safe and Sound is, because it's an old organization. Hunterdon County has a comparable organization. Morris County has a comparable organization. Mm-hmm. We work closely with them. Mm-hmm. So that's how we came up. It's an organization that's existed and unfortunately still needs to exist.
Yeah. And how did you end up being on the board? Did someone ask you, or someone that you knew was on the board, or how did that come up?
Three of the existing board members corralled me at a nonprofit luncheon.
That's how it happens.
You know, and quite honestly, that's how you get your best volunteers.
The ambush. No, I'm just kidding.
And also, you know, one of the things that we do with technology, like with Safe and Sound, is we go onto different volunteer sites and we advertise for volunteers. We literally, I interviewed this fabulous young man a few weeks ago who's coming onto our board. He has tremendous fiscal strategy planning abilities, which is someplace that we have a lack. But we would have never found him if it hadn't been for the volunteer sites that we're using now. So we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for people who can add a dimension to our board.
Yeah, and that's, you can sign up to be a volunteer at the website. I know depending on what the volunteer job is, it looks like you put the volunteers through 40 hours of training, which is probably pretty important, right? Something different.
That's you know, a different thing. But being a board member, those volunteers are the individuals who answer our hotlines,
right.
And you know, you just can't be someone who just picks up the phone,
right?
And
right.
You have someone who's a wreck on the other end.
It's delicate.
It's very delicate, and you have to have a very quick response.
Yeah, but maybe if people are looking for that, then they can train them, right? Yeah,
we do the training, and it is 40 hours of training. And you know what? It's the training, parts of the training. I've done parts of the training. It can be very intense, and it's just all inspiring to see the individuals who will come and do this training and commit their time, because they could be on phones from 9 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and they do it.
Yeah.
The commitment level is really amazing.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something more in depth, you can do that. But I think there's probably, it looks like you had a 5K earlier this month. Is that your annual event?
We do. We have a number of events. Our big event coming up is our Safe and Sound Gala, which is occurring in October.
Okay.
And it's on the website.
Okay. So you probably need people to help with that too,
yes.
right?
And even if you can't come, buy a ticket. Just send us a check for the heck of it.
I know. Well, fundraising is always at the top of mind, right? I was just asked to be on a board, and I'm like, well, how much do I have to give? Like, that's always the number one when you're on a board. You have to give and get, right?
Yeah.
So, which is okay.
No, I think that's a responsibility of a board member is to recognize you have to support the organization that mm-hmm. you're involved with.
Yeah, and it shows commitment, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's just very important to do that.
Right. Yeah. And so Safe and Sound is what you're currently in working on, but you've also got some other responsibilities with your alma mater, right? So you want to talk about that?
I do. I'm a graduate of St. Mary's College in South Bend, Indiana. It's an all-women's Catholic college. It's still an all-women's Catholic college. There's not a lot of all-women's colleges, period, in mm-hmm. the United States anymore. And I'm on the board of the directors, not the board of trustees, and it's a great board to be on. It's different. A college board actually operates differently than other nonprofit boards. And the most exciting thing for me is we have mentees. We have students that we're involved mm-hmm. with. In fact, I heard from one of my students this morning on the way in here. I had an email from her. And it's just so electric. I love being back on the college campus. If there's a Notre Dame football game going on across the street, it's even crazier. But it's the youth and their enthusiasm. And I've had the opportunity to speak to the woman at the college about politics and civic engagement. And, at the college level, there are women who are thinking about it.
Okay, good.
And they're asking questions, and they're really looking at it as a career path. And mm-hmm. I think that's crucially important. And so we need, we need people who have had, my experiences go to college campuses and talk about it and say, look, at one time I sat exactly where you sat. I was in that classroom, and this is what I do now. So I think it's great to do that.
Well, what would you say to a young person? Because I know when I was younger, you look at government and you just think endless red tape and bureaucracy, the lure of Wall Street and the efficiency of the high finance capital of the world is much more sexy and appealing than to sit in some, conference room in the basement and, So, right. I think we need more innovation. We need young energy to change the bureaucracy, to banish the bureaucracy, right? What would you say?
Right. Well, I think the author, David Osborne, who wrote Banishing Bureaucracy, would love to hear that quote.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Oh, wow. Yes, I'll have to check that out.
Okay. It's a really interesting book about government, actually.
Okay, good to know.
I think that, it's really our obligation for those who are involved in the civic arena to educate young people. We need to foster, a mature democracy that encompasses, people from many, many walks of life. You can't be a leader unless you can engage in a conversation with people with whom you disagree. And in a very, it's such a difficult atmosphere right now, and I think that's what turns people off to it. But we want our democracy to foster and to continue to be a great place for our children and their children. There have to be people who have the guts to go into this arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our obligation to educate that, and it's our privilege, frankly.
Yeah, and it is funny, though. I think it has engaged a lot of people because it almost is like a reality show. So what do you think of Buttigieg? Was he the South Bend mayor or something, right? He's running for president?
Yeah. I had the opportunity when we were in South Bend this past fall to hear him speak.
Really. Yeah.
He's very engaging.
Good.
He's an interesting speaker. It's a big crowd. The Democrats have a very big crowd.
Yeah.
We'll see how things shake out.
But he's kind of at the top, I think. He's getting a lot of press.
He's a very engaging speaker. And one of the crucial things to politics is you have to be able to communicate your message. And you do have to be able to speak with people whom you disagree. You think of the Bill Clintons, the Ronald Reagans. They would go across the aisle. No matter how controversial an issue was, they would keep the opposite side also engaged. And I think he has the capability of doing that. So mm-hmm. we'll see. It's really early.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think Biden's getting it tomorrow now. I don't know. They keep changing the date on that too. So, I mean, it is, but it is interesting. It is, it's almost like a waiting for the next shoe to fall or, you know, or the next episode, or the next player. I mean, it is like a reality show. So, I mean,
totally,
but with a high stake.
It's true. It is a reality show and they're not actors. They're actually trying to accomplish this.
I know. It's crazy, but I think, So what prompted you to run for assembly and all that in back in the day? Like what got you in the door? What made you say, yes, I'm going to do this?
My play group.
Your play group?
My play group in Branchburg. Branchburg at that time was building a new municipal building, and they needed a new building. They were in like trailers, but they were going two or three times over their budget. And it was really annoying me that they were spending that much of my money, what I consider to be irresponsibly. And I kept complaining about it at my playgroup till finally one of my girlfriends, Elizabeth McDay, turns to me and says, oh, we are so sick of listening to you complain about this. Why don't you run for mayor? I thought, oh, I am never doing that. I've been practicing law, and I was at that point at home with two young children. And I said, run for political office? What, are you kidding me? And by the end of that playgroup, I was running for mayor.
Wow. And you won.
And, well, it was really funny. I actually thought you could run for mayor. And so we make an announcement. One of my girlfriends who had her MBA from Wharton was going to be my finance person. Another one was my media person. And then my BFS from law school ran Democratic Media. That's what they did professionally. Wow. So I'd be on the phone with them all the time. They were down in D.C. I'm like, oh, we have this problem. How do I approach this? And they would tell me what to do. And so we make this general announcement that, I'm going to run for mayor. And, I just think, I'm this sophisticated lawyer from the big city. And I'm now in this smaller town. And, this is going to be like a cakewalk. My first phone call was from a guy, a reporter from the a writer, an editorial writer at the Courier News. His name is Tom Perry. Saying, "So, I see you're going to run for mayor." And I said, "Yeah, oh yeah." And I start rattling off some campaign platform, positions. He goes, "You can't run for mayor in Branchburg.
You have to be on the township committee first, right?"
Uh-huh. Yeah. Big pause in my part. I'm like, what are you talking about? No idea. No, you run for township committee, and then the members of the township committee select who's going to be mayor. I had no idea. Needless to say, I got none of the papers endorsements, not theirs, not the Star Ledger, but I won, and I won by a lot.
Yay.
I won every district. So
wow.
It was about hard work.
Yeah.
And lots of my friends were incredibly supportive. But yeah, that's how it started. It was my play group.
Good. And then, so how many terms did you run?
I was in Branchburg only 4 years.
Okay.
I was the mayor and deputy mayor, and then I ran for freeholder. And I was not supposed to, there was five of us running that year. In fact, Will Menon, who you mentioned that was one of them, or was there six of us? And we saw more of each other than we did of our spouses.
Right.
It was me and the boys.
We
would go from town to town doing our speeches and stuff. And I wasn't supposed to win that race, but I did.
Good for you.
But I did. I was told to actually, I was asked by, at that time, the county chairman to not stay, the previous county chairman to not stay in the race. Right.
Well, that just made you more determined, right?
Right. I was like, that's very nice of you to tell me that, but I'm staying,
Wow, really. Good.
Yeah.
And so then how long were you a freeholder?
12 years.
Wow.
I was a freeholder in Somerset for 12 years, and we did some... We had a great board. Myself and my four colleagues, we were a team. We didn't always agree. Believe me, there were a lot of times we never agreed. But we worked it out. We reached a compromise. We did what was best for our community. We recognized, I think all of us recognized the bigger picture of what we needed to do to accomplish, goals that would benefit our county as a whole.
Right, and then Assemblywoman came after that? Then,
yes,
okay.
Then I ran for Assembly. And
I think President's next step. Might as well just jump on in.
I think being President of the United States is probably the most difficult job.
I know, but that was your goal. You tell Sister, I'm doing it.
Yeah, right. Sister Celeste. She's actually still alive. She's only 90.
Good for her.
Yeah, God bless her. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that people come into office with, you know, black hair and leave of gray.
Yeah, right. I know. Right, yeah. No, it's demanding.
I mean, you're balancing, you know, the more competing interests you have to balance, the more complex your job is. Mm-hmm. And government, even at a municipal level, you're balancing a lot of competing interests. And as you go up the ladder, those interests become greater, more varied, more complex.
Yeah, and I've just been shocked at all the my husband went to the township meeting last night in Basking Ridge about there's just like a firestorm of stuff going on there. Now it's the stop sign dilemma, and oh my gosh, it's crazy.
Yeah,
just in the little little town. I mean,
yep.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I mean, it is engaging and interesting if you just pay attention. I mean, there's stuff going on. Yeah,
and believe me, well, you've seen in Basking Ridge, there's a lot of people that pay attention to certain issues.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can have hundreds of people at a meeting.
Yeah, and the school board, too. Crazy. Yep.
And you know what? That's the engagement that occurs in most of our towns. When things are going well, your meetings are quiet. When things aren't going well, you have a packed crowd, and they're not happy to see you, and they're not there to tell you what a good job you're doing.
I know, right? Well, squeaky wheel gets the grease. I always say that,
no,
for sure.
They're not there for that reason.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's, but it, like I said, all you have to do is pay attention and read the local paper or go to a meeting. I know some of the scouts, they're required to go to some of those meetings just to kind of learn about right. What's going on in your community.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's great.
They could come back scared, though. Mom, they were like all arguing and yelling.
I know. Well, yeah, but yeah, it means you hopefully it's an informed argument. And, you know, an informed argument is a good argument. And it makes people, you know, have a different perspective, which is what you want.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important for young, especially young children, to see that you can have different opinions and it doesn't denigrate into personal attacks.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that you're doing things to foster our democracy. I mean, the founders were amazing. I mean, they set up these three branches of government, and really what they do is they balance the ambitions of men and women with all those checks and balances, because mm-hmm. you just can't do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, you may try, but yeah.
There's a lot of people who try, but there are those, you know, it is all about balancing ambitions. It's lasted for, you know, a few hundred years, and well, hopefully it continues, and it's our responsibility to encourage that.
And encourage term limits, I think. Yeah. So that the power doesn't get too far gone. But anyway, okay, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We cleared 1.6. That was I was the co-chair of that committee. We clear about 1.5-1.6 million a year.
It's incredible, right?
And it's all volunteers.
Yeah. So we're back on the air with Denise Coyle. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and we're talking about the VNA sales, the Visiting Nurses Association. They have a huge rummage sale in Far Hills twice a year, beginning of May and the beginning of October, I think. And so a lot of my friends have volunteered. That my daughter has actually got some volunteer hours this year working there. But
yay.
It's they collect all kinds of incredible people drop off everything, and then they organize it and they sell it, and then they all at the end they give away what's left over to other nonprofits.
Yes.
So how did you get involved with the VNA?
I was corralled this time by Grania Allport. I kept telling her no, and she just wouldn't let me go. And so, I'm now in the end of my 6th year on the VNA, which is your initial time commitment. And it's been a very interesting board. The rummage sale itself is fascinating. We clear about $1.5 to $1.6 million, and that's clearing it after we pay for the setup, the cleanup, the police, all, you know, the security, all those things.
And you have an army of volunteers.
Of volunteers.
And everyone
loves
it.
We're always looking for more.
Yeah, okay.
We're always looking for more.
Yep. Bless you. And they love it. I mean, people love it.
It's so much fun. And, we have volunteers who have headed certain departments for 20 years.
Yep.
The toy department, Kathy Marshall, the furniture department. I mean, these people have been committed for a very long time to our organization. And it's great because you can get just about anything you want. You know, at Alice's Restaurant, you can get anything you want. Well, at the V&A rummage sale, you can get anything you want. And there is some food there, too.
Well, I remember the pre-sale tickets on Thursday, those are a hot commodity, right? People are always like, can I have a pre-sale ticket?
Yeah, you only get a pre-sale ticket if you're a volunteer worker there.
Yeah.
But believe me, there's so much there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you get there the first day or the second day.
There's traffic. They have to announce to the community that there's going to be stop traffic.
Yeah, we hire extra police to monitor the traffic. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to because, you know, the lines can get crazy coming into this sale, especially when it's nice. And quite honestly, it's kind of a fun day.
Yes.
You can just go out and wander through these tents. You can bring lunch or you can buy a lunch there. And you can stop by the V&A tent. You can get a flu shot or a blood pressure check, and just kind of carouse the many tents of wonderful items and buy them.
It's a treasure hunt. It really is because you've got typewriters, you've got globes, you've got books, you've got amazing clothes for the kids, like mint condition.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So it's definitely worth. So I think it's coming up May 3rd, 4th, and
amazing clothes for women. I actually bought an Armani dress there a
few
years ago.
Amazing.
I did.
Wow, that's great. Well, yeah, so there's definitely some finds, and half of the fun is the quest, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth going.
Yeah, it's all about the search.
So now, so if you're rolling off that board, then you'll have all this extra time. What are you going to do?
Well, I did. That's a good question. I did accept a position. The University of Notre Dame invited me to come on to their Hesburgh Women of Impact board.
Nice.
Yeah, they invited me last September, and I was very honored, very flattered. And so I'm basically taking, about 4 trips out to South Bend a year now between my responsibilities at St. Mary's and now going across the street at Notre Dame. And college boards are different, and good colleges have multiple boards for different functions of their college. And this board was the brainchild of Father Hesper, who was the university's president for many years, and was also a civil rights activist and leader. When we were at campus, he was never there because he was always, we were there in the 70s. He was always off on, involved in some civil rights activity. And So, yeah, he always felt women should have a greater voice. They had the potential to have a tremendous amount of impact. So that's what this is. It's Women of Impact, and there's some fascinating women on the board, frankly. I don't even know why they asked me.
No, no, you've earned it, for sure.
There's some great companions on
the board. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Right. Well, and we were talking a little on the break that if people want to get involved, you don't have to be on the board. You don't have to fundraise. You don't have to fly around to help out. You can start small by being on a subcommittee, by volunteering, or by, because you said the real work happens in the subcommittees, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right, Nicole. The work of all boards, just like in corporations, I mean, the real work happens in the small committees. And it's a really great place to take a small step to see whether you like it. And it could be for any ages. I'm on boards where we have some college students. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have their perspective, you know, versus just a bunch of 50-year-olds' perspectives, you know. So, and older, in my case. And you can volunteer to be on a subcommittee, and maybe you can say, like, Safe and Sound, for example. We were looking very shortly to expand our finance subcommittee, and we'd love to have some individuals who have some good financial background, especially with strategic financial planning, to come on to that committee. And we would love if you came on for a year or 2 years, and you could just tell us right up front, I want to try this. I'm willing to commit, you know, a couple days of, you know, a few hours a week or, you know, a couple days a month for a year to this committee to see how it goes. And we would welcome that. And I think the best nonprofits look at their subcommittees as having individuals beyond just their board. Mm-hmm. You need new energy. You need different thoughts. You need different ways of looking at things. And so that entails different age groups. And not everyone has the commitment to, you know, the time to be on a volunteer board. Like we're talking, the V&A, the Susan Lichtenberg and Ev Prather, who really run the V&A rummage sale, along with a number of other women, they're on our board, and then they have two other women who run it on the volunteer level. They're putting in 60 hours a week on rummage just to get it set up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you don't need to make that level of a commitment. You can really, as I said, commit, you know, give us 2 hours a week or, you know, 5 hours and start and see if you like it.
Right, and I think, too, it's always so important for kids to get involved because I make my kids volunteer whether they like it or not. And then, you know, part of the high school, it's required, but for certain times. But I think also they get exposure to all these different people working hard, donating their time. They understand how it works. They gain valuable people skills, interpersonal skills. They solve problems. I can't stress enough that volunteering is a habit to develop from an early age, but you're never too late to enter the game, right? You can always learn and you can meet new people. And I love the intergenerational mix that a lot of nonprofits offer and inter-society mix, you know? So how many, you know, I go to the soup kitchen in Plainfield. I mean, where would my kids meet someone from Plainfield if they're stay in the bubble, right? So I just cannot advocate for that enough. And you can start small, right? You don't have to be scared that you're going to be sucked in. You just start small with just one small act, show up at a 5K or a fundraiser or something, right? Just support.
Absolutely. It's all that work is so important to us. And like the example you were saying that in North Plainfield, the soup kitchen, well, you know, there's a food bank in Somerset County.
Mm-hmm.
And my children used to volunteer at that. And I think it's really eye-opening for kids to be giving food to kids. Like, they're in seventh grade or something, to actually be giving food to children their age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good experience. It's really, because, you know, I mean, what high school kid isn't totally self-absorbed? I mean, it's just who you are in high school.
Yeah.
And those experiences, those volunteer experiences will take a high school kid out of their self-absorption. Because they'll see that the world around them is different than perhaps the world they're living in.
Right. I was just on a website yesterday. So there was a gentleman in Colorado, and he struggled with anxiety and depression his whole young adult life. And his girlfriend got him involved in some volunteer work, and he really found that brought him out of himself and out of the darkness and out of the place where he was. And so they started a nonprofit, and now they're in doing projects with 200 different organizations in Denver, like Habitat for Humanity and some of the food things.
Yeah.
And so it's a way out of yourself, regardless of where you are, and it's so rewarding.
And that's very interesting that you say it's way out of yourself, because it is, because you're working for a greater purpose. You're working for something that's more important than just you.
Right.
And when you put it in front of, you know, especially, you know, junior high and high school, they do recognize it, but it needs to be actually put in front of them.
Yeah.
And an outcome like that for this young man, that's an amazing outcome.
So now he's got a sense of purpose, and he even wrote an article about how he learned how to structure this organization, because he thought, oh, I'm starting this, and this is the greatest, and everyone's going to love it, and everyone's going to just come flock to it and give me all kinds of money. And it's like, doesn't work that way, because, I mean, there's a lot of good people doing good things, and they're competing for resources. But, I mean, there's right. plenty of good deeds to go around, but, you know, it's – and so he learned so much about – he's a social entrepreneur. So, I mean, it's another valid and definitely worthy profession people could pursue, social entrepreneurship.
Oh, yeah. I think that's – I really would love to see some more like lectures on that. I don't even know if there's a TED Talk on that.
John Wood did one. So John Wood started Room to Read, and and so he did one in North Carolina a few years ago at TEDx, and he's one of the first social entrepreneurs. He taught a course on it at NYU, and so it's definitely more in the vernacular these days. And it's more important. And talk about the bureaucracy, like United Way, and those things have been around a long time, but they're the old model, and they are changing, some of them, but these new and vibrant social entrepreneurship, these nonprofits are making a difference.
Right, and the utilization of technology has been a huge boon for nonprofits, and if they stay in their old model, they're going to very much struggle. You have to embrace what's offered to you.
Yeah, and technology is good, but the mainstay is it's people helping people at the grassroots level. So
right.
you can like everything as much as you like on Facebook and like this and post and share, but you have to get down and dirty and actually show up and do some work too.
Do
really.
Something.
Yes, exactly.
Just do it.
I know, right? So like I say all the time, just get off the couch, figure out either, you know, partner with a friend, a neighbor, someone in your church, or go online. They just had Global Youth Service Day or week, mm-hmm. last weekend. So there's all these points of light, which was started by the Barbara Bush. And there's just more and more. You talked about the volunteer sites. So I advertise on Volunteer Match and yep. Idealist, and there's different sites where you right. can just go on and say, you can plug in where you live, what you want to do. I care about animals, or I care about the environment. Well, you've done yep. a lot with the environment and elder care. Like, those are some of your passions, right?
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about how you just, because there's so many things to do and to choose from. So what drew you about the environment and elder care? Why are those your focus, if I have it right from...
Right. Well, actually, I think what you're saying is really important. You should move towards something that touches you, that somehow, you know, resonates with you personally. Because the one interesting thing about that is you're going to meet other people who that resonates with them. That's something that touches their heart. That's something that they want to do. And that's when I think it becomes really exciting. Because after all, ultimately, life is really just about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So don't sit in front of your computer all day. Don't sit and hold your phone all day. Get out, as you said, and do something. And, you know, what attracted me, we had a tremendous opportunity in Somerset County because it's so prosperous. I mean, we're always in the, you know, top five in the socioeconomic class, the most educated populations. But, you know, we had this, we wanted to maintain our economic vitality, but at the same time, we wanted to preserve our environment because we have physically a beautiful environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone thinks that, you know, those are exclusive. You can't have economic vitality and preserve your environment. And we really started the smart growth movement in Somerset County. In fact, we used the guy who you mentioned, when you said Banishing Bureaucracy, David Osborne, he also he's written a number of books on government.
Oh.
And we used he and his colleagues to help us create a path on how to merge economic vitality and environmental sustainability. And we created three nonprofits, all, you know, this was a while ago, all who are up and running very successfully today. And it's made a big difference in our downtowns. Somerville, for example, you know, 20 years ago, you would think twice about walking down the street in Somerville at night.
Wow.
And now you want to live there. You want to live on Main Street in Somerville. It's just, it's hopping.
Right, and they got the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and they've
They've had that forever.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes.
It's packed.
Yeah.
And it's the classic model of stores, restaurants on the street level, and apartments, et cetera, you know, above and in between. And when you walk into a town at night and you see, and especially in a day like this, you see dozens and hundreds of people out walking around, talking, sitting in like a little park alcove, you know you have a successful town.
Right. And Division Street is blocked off. My daughter was there this weekend.
And you know what they do in the summer on Division Street? It's they have a huge screen and they do family movies.
Oh, that's adorable.
And everyone brings like a chair or their blankets and they sit out with their children, with the members of their community, and they watch, you know, a family-oriented movie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and the restaurants down there are just fabulous. You can get everything. Yeah,
it's the restaurant scene in Somerville is as good as any place. It's terrific.
Right, and you were instrumental in creating the Somerset County Business Partnership, right? Merging that.
Yeah. That was one of the three organizations that came out of our smart growth movement. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, David Osborne actually told me that we were the first people to use the term smart growth. And he told me that Al Gore stole it from us.
There you have it, folks. Well, that's good. Well, Denise, it's been such a pleasure. We've learned so much today. And I'm very grateful for you taking the time to be on the show and hope to have you back again soon.
Oh, it's been really fun, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Currently at 19, the field of Democrats running for the White House in 2020 is expected to rise to 20 tomorrow, when former Vice President Joe Biden is expected to roll out a long-anticipated presidential campaign. He will reportedly do so with an online video that will be posted tomorrow morning. There'll be a big campaign rally in Pittsburgh for him on Monday. A driver in Northern California in custody after reportedly deliberately driving into a group of eight people, injuring some of them last night. It happened in Sunnyvale, where police say the driver plowed into the people while they were waiting to cross the street. Then the car crashed into a tree, and the adult male driver was taken into custody. Millions of people across much of Texas, including San Antonio, Houston, and Austin, are in the path of severe weather today. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
House Democrats continue to issue subpoenas and make continued requests for information from President Trump and his associates. But his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says the president is right to not cooperate with those requests.
I'm not making this decision. This is White House counsel, executive privilege. I wouldn't give him a damn thing. I'd make him go to court and justify their investigation. I don't think they can.
Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler now issuing a subpoena for former White House counsel Don McGahn's testimony. A Texas man scheduled to be executed today for the dragging death of a black man, John King, convicted for his role in the murder of James Byrd back in 1998. He was one of three men who chained Byrd to the back of a pickup truck, dragging him for almost 3 miles in what is considered one of America's most brutal hate crimes ever. President Trump and the First Lady go to Georgia today to speak at a summit on the opioid crisis in Atlanta. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
A man authorities say brought gasoline cans into St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City 2 days after the Notre Dame Inferno is being arraigned today. Mark Lamparello, a part-time philosophy professor from New Jersey, was arrested last week with 4 gallons of gasoline, lighter fluid, and butane lighters. He'll be arraigned from his bed at Bellevue Hospital, where he's been undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. His Holy Week arrest comes